Roll shows 19 members present this morning, Mr. President.
We have a quorum to do business. Would members please stand for the invocation by Manya Pangloe of the Juneau Baha'i community?
Oh my God, oh my God. Verily, these servants are turning to thee, supplicating thy kingdom of mercy. Verily, they are attracted by thy holiness and set aglow with the fire of thy love, seeking confirmation from the wondrous kingdom and hoping for attainment in thy heavenly realm. Verily, they long for the descent of thy bestowal, desiring illumination from the Sun of Reality. O Lord, make them radiant lamps, merciful signs, fruitful trees and shining stars. May they come forth in thy service and be connected with thee by the bonds and ties of thy love, longing for the lights of thy favor. O Lord, make them the signs of guidance, standards of thine immortal kingdom, waves of the sea of thy mercy, mirrors of the light of thy majesty. Verily thou art the generous. Verily thou art the merciful. Verily thou art the precious, the beloved.
Senator Lincoln, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would the secretary please certify the journal? Senator Phillips, sorry.
Mr. President, I'd like to move the spreading of the prayer across the journal, please.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Madam Secretary?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 87th legislative day.
Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I'd like to introduce some people that are down here from ARCO with the Civil Action Program in the Miller's Gallery, and if they could all please stand there from my Senate district. Andy Bond, Shane Donnelly, James Gawkin, Edna Henry, Gina Lawrence, Oscar Lorenzo, William Matthews, and Tom Walker. If we could please welcome them here.
For the guests. Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce this group that is in the Ziegler Gallery with us this morning. And before I introduce them, I just want you to not be afraid of this group that's here, that even though we have recruited them because they've heard about this great Indian country here in Alaska, that they came up to check it out. Mr. President, this is the group from the National Congress of American Indians, and as some of you already know, the capital city of Juneau has been selected as the site for the National Congress of American Indians annual mid-year conference to be held here June 8th through the 11th. And we have with us as special guests those that have come up to check out the capital and Alaska and find out how friendly our Indian country is. They will be expecting here in Juneau 500 people from the lower 48 that's going to be participating, and that's not counting all of the tribes that will be coming, converging on Juneau on the 8th through the 11th of June. We have Joanne Chase, who is the executive director of NCAI, Teresa Pinana, from the California Indian Manpower Consortium, Michael Pensley, the California Indian Manpower Consortium, and Tanya Thrasher, who is the conference coordinator for and public relations director for NCAI. If you would please help me welcome them. And they're not going to do any scalping, they said. And also, with permission of the senator from Juneau, the area vice president of the National Congress of American Indians, and also the president of Tlingit Haida, Ed Thomas, who was very instrumental in bringing the group here to Alaska, and we know that that's a great economic a boom to not only Juneau, but for our state. So welcome, Ed Thomas.
For the guests, Senator Taylor.
I do have a dear old friend that's seated in the Ziegler Gallery. He's actually from the Minority Leader's district, but I've known him and his family most of my life, and that's Dale Reed. He comes from Norwegian country in Petersburg. Welcome, Dale.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you very much. I have constituents from the ARCO CAP groups, and I believe they're sitting in both galleries. Steve Carhart, Paula Harris, Jackie Johnson, Larry Kazan, hi Larry, Agatha Rutka, and Trish Berg. Thanks for coming.
Further guests. Seeing no further guests, that brings us down to messages from the governor.
Senator.
Oh, Senator Mackey, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Very brief at ease, please.
Senate will stand at ease. Harry? We are still under the introduction of guests. Are there further guests for introduction? Seeing no further guests for introductions, messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated April 9th, the House has passed and returned Senate Bill 115, repealing certain requirements relating to posting and reporting of prices paid for salmon. Bill has been referred for enrollment. Message dated April 9th, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration House Joint Resolution Number 16 by Representatives Feezy, Ryan, Ogun, relating to a federal balanced budget amendment.
State Affairs.
And those are all the House messages this morning.
Communication.
Following report is on file, Alaska Center for International Business Annual Report, University of Alaska, in accordance with AS 1440087. Those are all the communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 60, providing for an advisory vote on the issue of capital punishment. Signed, do pass, Senators Pierce and Sharp, co-chair, Senators Phillips, Torkelson. Signed, no recommendation, Senators Parnell and Donnelly. Signed, do not pass, Senator Adams, fiscal note attached, Senate Bill Number 60. Has no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 63, Deadly Weapon Offenses by Juveniles. Signed and due pass, Senator Sharp and Pierce, co-chairs. Senators Phillips, Parnell, Torgerson, and Donnelly. Senator Adams, signed no recommendation. Zero on fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill 63 has no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 70, define the offenses of unlawful discharge of a firearm. Recommends the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted. Signed to pass, Senators Sharp and Pierce, co-chair, Senators Phillips, Parnell, Torgerson, and Donnelly. Senator Adams, signed no recommendation, zero on fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 70 has no further referral.
Rules.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 96, regulating hospice care. Recommends a committee substitute. Signed to pass, Senator Wilkins, chair, Senator Ellis. Signing amend, Senators Ward and Lehman. Signed no recommendation, Senator Green, fiscal note attached. Senate Bill 96 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered House Bill 106, Municipal Assistance Program. Signed, no recommendation, Senator Mackey, Chair, Senator Hoffman. Signed, do pass, Senators Wilkin, Phillips, and Donnelly. Previous House fiscal, zero fiscal note. House Bill number 106 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Those are all standing committee reports this morning, Mr.
Reports
President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Bring us down to the introduction of Senate resolutions. Senator Taylor?
We would ask unanimous consent that we stand in recess to the call of the chair for purposes of the majority caucus.
In the Butrovich room. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we stand in recess. Senate will come to order. We are under introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 28 by Senators Halford, Green, Taylor, Miller, Sharp, Torkelson, Donnelly, Lehman, Wilkin, Ward, requesting the federal government to conduct an audit of the Alaska Native regional corporations to determine their compliance with the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and to review the accountability of the corporations to their shareholders.
State Affairs.
Those are all the resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 165 by Senators Duncan and Ellis, an act establishing the Alaska Health Insurance Corporation and requiring licensed health care providers to comply with certain statutes and regulations relating to the corporations, relating to health insurance claims processing and to approval of rates for health insurance and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 166 by Senators Duncan and Ellis, an act relating to regulation of managed care health insurance plans and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
Senate Bill number 167 by Senators Duncan and Ellis, an act creating the Group Health Care Purchasing Task Force and providing for an effective date.
Pass and finance.
Senate Bill number 168 by Senators Duncan and Ellis, an act relating to Medicaid coverage, including coverage for children and pregnant women and providing for an effective date.
Pass and finance.
Senate Bill number 169 by Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to an exemption from the requirement for payment for overtime under a voluntary work hour plan for work performed by employees at certain mines and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 13 by Senator Sharp and Ellis, an act relating to taxes on cigarettes and tobacco products and to the use of the proceeds of those taxes, providing for an effective date. Health, Education, and Social Services recommends a HESCS funding to pass on to Wilkin Chair Senator Ellis. Sign no recommendation, Senators Ward and Green. Finance Committee recommends a Finance Committee substitute. Sign to pass, Senators Sharp and Pierce for Chair, Senators Adams and Torgerson. Sign no recommendation, Senators Phillips and Parnell. Rules recommends a Rules Committee substitute. Signed to calendar and due pass, Senator Kelly Chair. Signed for placement in the calendar, Senators Duncan, Lehman, and Torgerson. There are several committee substitutes.
Senator Kelly.
President, I'm going to make a motion, then I will explain the Rules Committee substitute. I move the Rules Committee substitute. Mr. President, the only thing the Rules Committee substitute does is it takes the essence of the Senate Finance Committee substitute, which lowered the per tac increase from $1 to 71 cents. And I'll allow the co-chairman of the Finance Committee to explain that. But it simply takes that 71 cent figure and places it into the title of the bill. So the House has the option of going higher than 71 cents if they choose, but they can't go any lower than that amount.
Is there objection?
The other body.
Is there objection to the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute? Hearing no objections, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill number 13 rules by the Rules Committee, and there is an amendment number 1 by Senator Ellis. Page 1, line 2. It's been distributed.
Yes. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 1.
There is objection, Senator. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I prefer the higher tax, the dollar a pack, and preferred a version of the bill before it was changed in the Finance Committee. And I've spoken with the sponsor of the bill and understand his motivations, but still think that the a dollar a pack is what's justified by the evidence and the grassroots support and all the reasons that people have heard last year and this year as well. So the mill levy, just the changes in the amendment just proposed to move it back from the 71%, reduced from a dollar to 71 cents, and this moves it back to a dollar a pack for a pack of cigarettes.
For the Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would rise an objection. We discussed some of the ramifications of putting a dollar total tax or a 71 cent increase in finance. The situation is that I think we need to consider what is liable to get all the way through this legislature and what isn't. I think there's some critical numbers over in the other body that the total of $1 achieves to gather in for support, and I think that's very critical. I'm not counting votes or noses, but I've been told this by individuals who want to support it that have come forward and told me that. I've watched the activities in the other body's Finance Committee, and they tried to get it down to a dollar total and to remove the automatic escalators that was in their bill, or is in their bill, and failed, and seen some of the reasons why it failed. I think it's if we go up to a dollar, I'm afraid a dollar increase, I'm afraid we'll fall into a trap. We might not get out of it.
Further debate? Seeing no further, Senator Taylor.
I just had a question for the sponsor. We've heard a lot of statistics quoted on this, and I wonder how many additional children's lives are we going to save by going to the higher one as opposed to staying with the lower one, which apparently the Senate committees have now reduced the tax by 29 cents. Maybe he has some numbers on that.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those numbers are available. They've been presented to every committee so far, and as tax goes up, the demand by folks, including young people, goes down, and that's well accepted by economists who aren't on the payroll of the tobacco industry. And those facts and figures are available, but I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind here today, and there's no reason to slow the process down. So those numbers do exist. They're available. Everyone knows they exist, and they can be presented to the member at another time.
Further debate? Seeing Senator Green.
Mr. President, I want to kind of express something. This is probably the most difficult day so far as issues go, because I don't like disagreeing with my good friend, the sponsor of this bill. I think we're headed in the wrong direction, and I personally will not support this, nor have I ever supported this. It is a tax, and this is very, very difficult. We cannot ever disguise a tax with what we are intended purpose for the use of the money. It is still a tax. And for that reason, I will probably be supporting this amendment.
Further debate? Senator Kelly.
Mr. President. If you don't want a tax, why would you want to support the amendment that increases the tax? So if you don't like taxes, then the obvious vote is against the amendment.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 1 be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 7 yeas to 12 nays, amendment number 1 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Ward, page 1, line 1, following products, and it's been distributed.
Senator Ward?
Aye. Move amendment number 2.
There is objection.
Mr. President, very briefly, what amendment number 2 does, it... Through testimony to the various committees, it's brought to my attention that tobacco does, in fact, kill more people on a yearly and a daily basis than alcohol does. And what this amendment does very clearly is that it puts tobacco under the same kind of selling tobacco to a minor, the same as selling alcohol to a minor. And if, in fact, all these children and people are dying from tobacco injection, using tobacco products in Alaska, which I do believe they are, then we need to treat this as seriously as we do alcohol. And right now, this very body, or other bodies, have done surveys where people have gone in as minors and bought tobacco products, and there literally is not even a slap on the hand. And if we are going to allow some kind of poison to be sold illegally to minors, we should put the proper teeth into it. And that teeth is as follows. The same exact... This amendment, although the amendment is just drawn to my attention, is for the Finance Committee substitute instead of the Rules Committee substitute. What the amendment does, it puts the same categories for any person that is licensed that sells a tobacco product to a minor. They will receive the same penalties as any person that is licensed that sells an alcohol product to a minor. And if, in fact, tobacco is killing more people than alcohol, this amendment would... at least improve this bill a great deal and do what some of the media and some of the people that are supporting this have been trying to do all along, and that is to reduce the smoking of children. This, in fact, will do it. This will put the people in jail that sell these products to minors. And if they don't, they're going to receive the same penalties as selling alcohol, which is $50,000 fines, years in jails, serious stuff to protect the children of the state. And that's what this amendment does.
Senator Mackey. Thank you. I guess, first of all, I'd ask Mr. President whether or not the amendment's in order, since it doesn't conform to the bill that's in front of us. As he pointed out, it's to the finance. Also, then I would have a couple questions for the sponsor of the amendment. 19 years of age, I guess this is something we debated years ago, but my problem with 19 years of age is you can be 18 years old and serve in our military and go to the Persian Gulf and get shot and everything for your country, but you can't go buy a pack of cigarettes. So, this amendment starts raising some old issues that have been around here for a while. And at one point in time, you become adult. You know, you're old enough to vote. You're old enough to die for your country and everything else at 18, but you can't go buy a pack of cigarettes. Not that I'm suggesting they do that at 18, but
That's just an issue that I have. Also, if the sponsor of this amendment could tell me what the problem is with the laws we have right now that don't allow people to sell tobacco to minors. It is illegal right now. And there are, and I question, having been in law enforcement before, I question on a second offense, you know, going to a Class C felony is pretty strict. I mean, you can, you know, you can beat somebody up and have a Class A misdemeanor, but if you sell somebody that has a fake ID, a pack of cigarettes, you can go to jail under a Class C felony, and we start getting into three strikes, you're out, and everything else. I mean, it sounds great, you know, it sounds like, oh, we're really getting tough on everybody, but sometimes when we get in too big of a rush and we have a 5 or 10 page amendment that doesn't even conform to the bill and we do something in the heat of debate here, it may cause problems for our law enforcement or prosecution community.
Thank you.
Senator Ward. Sprint, yes. Thank you, Mr. President. As it was drawn to my attention, but I wanted to make sure that the body had a copy of it and it was on the table and it does not conform, and I am going to withdraw this amendment at this time, and I will reconsider the vote on the bill today, and I will be bringing it back tomorrow once I actually find out what it costs to do it and it actually fits the bill. But I thought we had a finance bill coming through, and I was not up to speed. And with that, without objection, I would withdraw the amendment at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Taylor?
I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Senate Bill 13 rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill number 13 rules, now adding taxes on cigarettes and tobacco products and the use of the proceeds of those taxes and increasing by at least 35.5 mils the amount of excise tax levied on each cigarette imported or acquired in the state and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I won't debate it this year. My sponsor statement, I believe, adequately addresses the bill, and I would encourage all members that haven't read the sponsor statement to read it. And since the bill apparently is going to be reconsidered tomorrow, I'd be glad to answer questions regarding the bill between now and tomorrow. Thank you.
Further debate? Seeing no Senator? Senator Wilkin, were you seeking the floor?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to let the body know how I feel about this issue. We in this state have a major health problem, and it's caused by tobacco. This legislature has the opportunity to stand up for the health of Alaskans. I'm one of the supporters of the dollar a pack. I campaigned on it, and while I'm still open to further debate, I haven't changed my mind. I simply believe two things. One, that smoking cigarettes is bad for Alaskans, and two, that the higher the price, the less the use. However, Mr. President, I'm saddened that that those on the other side of this debate wish to frame the argument based neither on the health and welfare of Alaskans nor on the economic burden that all of us must bear due to tobacco usage. They instead would like to talk about tax and spend Republicans, broken promises, elections, and re-elections. And frankly, Mr. President, with all due respect, those issues are simply a smokescreen. Two points I would like for this body to consider. We as Alaskans should know that in 1992, a behavioral risk study done by the Department of Health and Social Services showed that 83% of the smokers in Alaska started before they were age 20. If you are a smoker in Alaska, the chances are greater than 8 out of 10 that you started before you reached your 20th birthday. That's a very compelling thought and one that we should ponder. Two, we Alaskans should know that each of us, man, woman, and child in this state, bear the cost of $366 each to pay for inflated health costs and inflated insurance costs due to those people that choose to smoke. That's the tax that's in place today. It's a tax on my family. It's a tax on all. And it's completely consistent with my Republican philosophy that the cost causer be the cost payer. And this dollar tax is simply a way to shift the cost that those that choose to smoke pay for those choices. Mr. President, these two facts alone are enough to warrant a call to action by the people of Alaska. I ask that we answer that call and pledge that we have the patience to start down the path of ridding our state of tobacco use. Let's admit that this is a health and welfare issue and needs to be addressed immediately. It's not a tax issue that must wait until times are better. Mr. President, people are dying, families are crying, and tomorrow another one of our youth will light up and begin its journey down the trail of becoming a smoking statistic. This is significant legislation. It will result in long-term positive effect on the people of our state. But we need to begin, and we need to have patience. Mr. President, you and I may not see the results of our efforts, but our children will. Thank you.
For the debate.
Senator Taylor.
Well, there have been a lot of good things said about this legislation, and I don't doubt the sincerity of those comments, but I live in the very same world that the rest of us do, and I have to observe that world and see what's going on in it. And for some reason, I've not been able to acquire the set of blinders or the rose-colored glasses that some of my other friends have. I just recently traveled over the holidays to the southern states and was in South Carolina and drove from North Carolina over into South Carolina and saw a little bit of West Virginia. It was common as you drove along the road to see billboards advertising any major brand of cigarettes $6.75 a carton. And knowing this issue to have gone on last year and curious about some of the comments that I was hearing, and a prevalent myth that I continue to hear is that the higher the price, the lower the use. So I thought about that a little bit, and I came home and looked at what our prices were. Well, our prices are about $18 to $20 a carton for major brands in our stores. Well, that's at least three times the cost in these southern states. So I asked someone, in fact, I've asked a couple of the sponsors of this, if in fact higher price means lower use, then we must be using at some lower use rate here in Alaska than these other states are. In point of fact, we're not. If anything, our youth are using at a little higher rate, not a lower rate, than being used in these other areas. So if there's somebody in the room that has different statistics than that, I've asked for them several times, I'd really appreciate knowing that. But I can't find them so far. So I believe that that's a part of the mythology that's carrying this legislation. Another part is that we seem to hear a mantra being chanted frequently, and that is, let's do it for the kids. We're almost to the place that we'll just about do anything as long as somebody says it's for the kids. I was on this floor when we've increased this tax in the past. We were told the same thing. For some reason, it didn't cause use to go down. I think what's causing use to go down is education, and educational programs, which I strongly support. But I don't see anything in here that indicates that that's going to be the justification. In fact, it's not the sole justification. People are looking at this as a revenue source around here. They're counting it against the fiscal gap. I think it's fascinating that we have all participated over time in the passage of three different laws. Today, it is illegal and a criminal act for a person to give a cigarette to a person under the age of 19 in the state of Alaska. It's obviously, and as has been commented on just before I spoke, that it's a criminal act to sell a cigarette to any person under the age of 19. It's also a criminal act for the person under the age of 19 to possess a pack of cigarettes, to just have them on their person is a criminal act. And it's also a criminal act for a person under the age of 19 to smoke a cigarette. And we've passed all those laws for the kids. Unfortunately, as my friend and colleague who has served and spent time in the enforcement community in Alaska, I believe, would have to tell you, nobody gets arrested for any of those crimes. They've been on the books for years, and everybody cares so much about the kids, nobody's enforcing the law. And if you believe I'm wrong on this, it's noon now. We could walk out of here, and instead of going to eat lunch, go down and stand in front of Juneau High School today and see if that law is being enforced. Go to any local high school today and see if those three laws on the books that we passed for the kids are being enforced. And if they're not, you kind of have to ask yourself, well, why aren't they? Maybe people don't view it as serious as some of us do and think that when we passed those laws, they should have been enforced. Or maybe it's just more of the mythology that we're going to do this for the kids. Today in Alaska, no kid under 19 can buy cigarettes legally. You're taxing people over the age of 19. I don't have a problem with the social mores and the folkways that are justifying this movement to socially engineer our society in such a way that less and less people do things that are damaging to their health. I applaud that. I think that's great. We need more public education. We need more signs. We need less advertising by these folks. We probably need a whole lot of things. But what role should government play in that process? The role we're attempting to play today is we now are diminishing what the advocates wanted, which was $1 a pack, down by 29 cents a pack to 71 cents, because somebody has decided that a deal's been cut and that it'll go through here easier. That seems to be the only justification for moving it up or down, is a deal. I guess it doesn't have anything to do with the number of people, because you see, if the mythology, the higher the price, the lower the use, is correct, well, then we ought to see an amendment in here for $2 or an amendment for $5 a pack by the people who truly believe in this mythology. I submit that the evidence I have is it is a mythology right now. Either that or the kids in South Carolina ought to be smoking at about 3 or 4 times the rate that the kids in Alaska are. They're not. So as a consequence, I have to relate to exactly what this bill is, and it's only one thing. It's a tax. And I have to look to other leaders who have been forced to face this very same issue in just the last few days. Senator Stevens voted against, I believe, a 35-cent a pack increase, and he was being told to vote for it because those monies were going to be dedicated to a children's insurance fund, a national children's insurance fund, which he supports, and I strongly support that same concept, that we ought to have one. He voted against this tax because it is a tax. And it doesn't matter what you wrap this tax in. It doesn't matter what emotional concerns or arguments you may have. It's still nothing more than a tax. It's a tax that is going to impact addicted Alaskans, is who you're taxing. It's going to impact them at a significant rate. Maybe this will cause some of them to stop smoking. That aspect is good. For the ones that it doesn't stop smoking, it is still a significant increase in their annual tax. If I were standing on this floor today arguing against income tax, I would have a majority standing with me. If I was standing on the floor of the assembly before the city of Anchorage and we were arguing against a sales tax, I would have a majority of that group with me. Somehow, people have, through, I think, a schizophrenic process, decided that some taxes are verboten over here and we're not going to talk about them, but other taxes, if we can wrap them in enough motherhood and apple pie and let's do it for the kids, those taxes are okay. I have a hard time understanding the difference because it's still a tax and it's still revenue that we're going to collect from people by operation of law. They're not going to willingly pay this. This is by operation of law imposed by us. And I would suggest to you, Mr. President, that there's an old quote from Benjamin Franklin wherein he said, "These are the times that men plow quietly in the fields and women weep silently in their kitchens. For the legislature is in session, and no man's life or property is safe." This is a tax, and I'll be voting against it because it's a tax.
For the debate, Senator Sharp.
Thank you. I'll make it very short. The good senator from Rango is probably correct on juveniles. I've seen them standing around smoking cigarettes, wondering where they got them. This bill puts the money where our mouth is. The intent of it is $4 million a year grant to municipalities who should be doing the enforcement that don't have the money to do the enforcement, to go out, detect, prosecute, incarcerate those that are selling tobacco products to juveniles.
For the debate. Senator Taylor.
Well, if in fact that token of the tax is the justification, then let us truly, those who advocate this, put the money where the mouth is. Let's put all of it into enforcement programs. At $1 a pack, it was supposed to generate close to $40 million. I assume now that we've dropped it 29 cents, that we're probably talking about $30 million. So instead of giving 10% towards enforcement, why not give 100% towards enforcement? And maybe then we will actually see some enforcement of these laws that everybody passed and agrees should be on the books, and some people in here wish to even increase the penalties on.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wasn't going to get into the debate today, but I just wanted to clarify several things. The majority leader has asked for data and studies that show that when you increase the cost of smoking, the number of teenagers decrease. Those studies are out there, and the senator from Anchorage indicated that. I have a copy of one right here, of a chart of one that was done by Canada in 1991. And clearly it shows that as the price increased, teen smoking went down. That so that the increase in the cost of tobacco does have an impact. That when that increase is there, when the rate increases, teen smoking does go down, so it will have an impact. It surely will have an impact on reducing the amount of smoking. Secondly, I wanted to clarify for the record, the majority leader mentioned going down to Juno Douglas High School and seeing these kids standing in front of the high school smoking, implying that there was no enforcement of the laws right now, and I wanted to be sure that that wasn't on the record that way. I happen to have been sitting in the courtroom several times just visiting and watching what's going on, not there because I had to be there. But when high school students have been brought before the judge in this town because they have been caught with cigarettes or been caught smoking on the school grounds or caught smoking elsewhere, and they have been fined by that judge and they've had to do community service, those laws are being enforced as much as possible. No law is completely enforced, that's clear, but they are being enforced as much as possible, and I think they also have an impact that raising the cost of smoking will also have an impact, as the studies show. And finally, I just wanted to clarify, because I know he misspoke on Senator Stevens. Unless I'm wrong, and unless the press report that I have before me is wrong, Senator Stevens has not yet voted on the tobacco tax increase. He has said that, you know, he doesn't want it tied to the health program that was introduced by Senator Orrin Hatch and Ted Kennedy. He favored increased coverage for health reasons, but that he was not ready at this point to make a commitment on the tax increase because he had signed a no tax increase pledge. Has not yet voted on it.
For the debate. Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I'm pleased that my colleague cited the Canadian statistics, because I don't believe we have the testimony in this body, but I know there was testimony in the other body by a Mountie that had spent 30 years in Canadian law enforcement that wrote a book on this very subject. And the Canadians have found that the higher they increase the taxes, the more they increase the black marketing of cigarettes. And so on their charts, it appeared as though cigarette consumption and use was significantly going down. It was on the cigarettes that were being taxed. They also found that the cigarette smoking and the use of tobacco within their provinces was remaining fairly constant, if not increasing, but instead they were buying bootlegged and black market cigarettes, and there was a very lucrative market in smuggling cigarettes. Interestingly, a gentleman by the name of Arpero, who's the current sheriff of Maricopa County and maintains his own jail, he's made in prison, so to speak, he's made some national notoriety on that subject because he has a tent jail out in the middle of the desert out from Phoenix out there. He's a good friend, and I've had lunch with him now on a couple different occasions. And he indicated to me that the single biggest problem he had in his prison was not drugs, it was people smuggling in cigarettes. And I can assure you that in the real world out there, people have already found other ways to acquire these substances aside from paying state of Alaska taxes. In fact, I believe it was distributed to all of us on the floor here by merely surfing the internet. You can pick up cigarettes, buy the carton, mailed directly to your house in Alaska for about $5 to $7 less per carton than what you purchased them at the grocery store. In fact, I've had three different constituents send me their receipts and the rest of it to show what they are currently purchasing cigarettes for, and they said, we don't care about your law, go ahead and pass this thing because we don't intend to pay your tax anyhow. I think that use, or misuse, if you will, the use of people going to the bases in Anchorage and purchasing off the bases so they don't have to pay, I think that those things will continue to occur and increase. But that aspect had not been discussed, and I'm glad the Canadian statistics were cited.
For the debate. Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 13 rules pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 16 yeas to 4 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 13 rules has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date?
Yes, move and ask unanimous consent. Vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Ward.
I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on committee substitute Senate Bill 13 rules.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on committee substitute for Senate Bill 13 rules. Senate will stand at. Would the Secretary read the next item on today's calendar?
Citations honoring Alaska Works Partnership, honoring Rebecca Brownstein, honoring Haynes High School, celebrating Jesse and Ellen Jones' 50th wedding anniversary, in memoriam Paul Potter.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Citations on today's calendar be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Taylor?
I would move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in recess until 4 p.m. this afternoon.
Senator Duncan?
What's the purpose? What's happening?
There is a press conference going on right now. Then there will be a majority caucus at 1 o'clock in the Butrovich room.
And what do we expect? I mean, is this just not technical session at 4 o'clock? Is this...
We will come back and finish up whatever we have. There is a bill on reconsideration, should that bill be brought up, and just finish what's left that we need to go through.
Okay.
Senator Donnelly.
This 4 o'clock session conflicts with a 4 o'clock budget closeout for the Economic Development Subcommittee, and I'd like to say that to be postponed until time tomorrow. And we'll announce it later.
Certainly. Is there objection? Hearing no objection. We are under unfinished business at this time. Is there unfinished business become before the Senate? Senator Duncan.
Are we having days?
We. Under unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Senator Taylor?
We would ask unanimous consent that the President be excused and not subject to a call on Monday the 14th and Tuesday the 15th on state business.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection. So ordered. Senator Halford.
Monday and Tuesday on personal business.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Taylor?
We would ask unanimous consent to be excused, not subject to a call from Saturday the 12th to Sunday plain time the 20th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Ellis?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate for tomorrow, Friday morning session through morning plain time Monday.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Lehman?
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor on HJR 16 related to the balancing of the federal budget.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Sharp.
To finance tonight at 5 o'clock, Senate Finance Rooms. We'll start off with SB 105, Legislative Ethics Code Reform, and it'll be online to Anchorage to the Personnel Board. Ethics Committee staff will be online. We'll go to SB 150, SB 151. We will break at 7 o'clock as usual, and Senator Pierce will then proceed with closeouts on Department of Revenue and Department of Law, and then we'll proceed on with bills as long as we've got people sticking around.
Further announcements? Senator Ward.
Yes, just for the record, Senate Transportation was canceled today, and those bills will be carried over to the next, to the 15th, to the next scheduled meeting.
Senator Taylor.
Yes, Senate Judiciary will be will take place immediately following adjournment.
Senator Lehman.
Senate Labor and Commerce will meet at 4:30 in the Frank Camp Room and take the bills posted.
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Taylor?
Unanimous consent, the Senate stand in adjournment to 11 a.m. Friday the 11th.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.